clear just before the break, we read the criminal charges have been filed against the one officer involved in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky. That officer was charged with wanton endangerment. And as we've mentioned, other officers involved were not charged, just that one officer charged in that case. We've got a lot coming up for you today as well on Air Talk. Coming up in the next hour, we're checking in on the census, which has been a really topsy-turvy process. We're also going to talk about the surprising link between Ruth Bader Ginsburg and a president that didn't nominate her for the Supreme Court, but nominated her for the federal appeals bench and the significance of that choice. But first, when we talk about public schools these days, it's really tempting to think that because distance learning has been the norm for so many months, that most students have the basics that they need to log in the first place. But thousands of students do not in Southern California, and we've gotten several jarring reminders of that in recent days. Across LA County, nearly 27,000 students still need a laptop or tablet to access their online classes, including almost one-third of the students in the Palmdale School District. 21,000 lack needed internet hotspots, including nearly a third of Inglewood Unified students. And this has left some parents little choice but to buy devices or internet service at their own expense, even in some of these predominantly low-income schools. LA County School Superintendent Deborah Duardo recently urged the county's Board of Supervisors to divert some federal relief funding to buy more connections for students. And Dr. Duardo joins us now. Hi, Dr. Duardo. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So this funding approved by the supervisors, how far is it going to go in closing this digital divide?
Well, it's definitely going to be a tremendous support to our 79 districts. This is an ongoing issue, but actually what we did is we surveyed all 80 of our school districts, and we found that there was still a significant need, and we went to the Board of Supervisors, and thankfully, they all agreed that we needed to invest in education in our students and our families. And with that funding that they provided, we will be able to meet the current need that was identified by the 79 superintendents and certified. But it's ongoing in that as new students enter the district or as devices need to be replaced, or they become damaged or students lose them, we need to make sure that we're able to continue to replace those devices and ensure everybody's connected.
What a surprise. Children lose their devices. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear from public school parents and teachers as well. And do students that you are around, maybe they're your students, maybe they're, your children, do they have the devices that they need? I really want to hear from folks for whom this might be a reality. Have your students been able to log on more regularly? I want to get a sense of how you are feeling about this issue and the realities that you're facing in your home as distance learning persists here. 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722. Go onto the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. I want to hear about your connectivity issues or about the extraordinary and potentially even heroic lengths that you're going to get your kids online. So tweet at us at AirTalk, tweet at me, KY Stokes, or call us at 866-893-KPCC. Dr. Duardo, I mean, certainly the digital divide is much narrower than it was at the start of the pandemic. You mentioned the results of that survey that you were doing. I guess my question is, why does that survey still reflect differences? I think there's obviously, devices are breaking and need to be replaced, but we're talking about districts where, a third of the children don't have, a hotspot or a device potentially, and others where that number is something like one in five. I mean, why? I mean, there's been so much spending on this. It's tempting to think schools might have solved the problem by now.
Right. Well, there's lots of reasons for that. Certainly this pandemic has spotlighted the disparity in terms of people having access to devices, the digital divide, but also the disparity in terms of how this pandemic is impacting people in terms of their health, those who have to work, those who can work from home, those who have pre-existing conditions. But the other challenge is that once districts were forced into this situation of having to close schools, they immediately started looking to purchase devices and hotspots However, many of the manufacturers were on back order. You couldn't even get the devices once you put in those orders. So that was a big challenge as well, is just being able to purchase these devices when everybody around the world basically was trying to get them.
Right. Every school that needed them, everyone that was moving into this new remote reality. It was a crunch that everyone had to deal with. And we're talking about, in some cases, these are really small school districts. It's not like a big buyer that has weight to throw around, in this space.
Exactly. And that's why we're using our County Office of Education to meet with vendors and providers and purchasing on a larger scale so that we can distribute them to our smaller districts who are having some challenges obtaining them.
Now, the Los Angeles Unified School District, they have a universal device program, and district-wide, the district reports that only 2% of students are not connected, as they say. But in certain neighborhoods, connection rates are lower than that. I mean, LAUSD reports that in neighborhoods like Crenshaw or West Adams, that rate is more like 5% of the students who haven't logged in at all since schools started last month. I hope I said West Athens, not West Adams. Just wanted to be clear about that. Crenshaw and West Adams, and there's an organization, and West Athens, I keep saying this wrong, but there is an organization that runs 19 LAUSD schools in high-needs neighborhoods just like those. It's called the Partnership for LA Schools. And its chief external officer, Ryan Smith, is also with us. Ryan, thank you for being with us on Air Talk.
Thank you for the invitation, Carl.
Yeah, so your organization recently did a survey of your students and families in your organization, which is almost entirely low income. And the survey found this really interesting takeaway that 30% of your families have actually bought devices or internet service just so that they can get their child to access distance learning. Can you help us understand why a cash-strapped family would go to those lengths when, the idea is that LAUSD is providing some of those services for free?
Yeah, and appreciate you bringing that up because I think it raises issues of equity, definitely, particularly in our highest need communities. So we partnered with USC to launch a study with over 1,000 families that we work with in 19 of our schools, majority low-income, majority Black and Latinx. We found out that 1 in 3 families have purchased new devices or services to support distance learning. And we're not talking about nominal cost. We're talking about hundreds of dollars. And the survey also showed that roughly 3/4 of our families have experienced loss of income, also are experiencing food insecurity. So clearly our parents really want to make sure.
Whoa. I just want to dwell on that for a second while we just got a little blip on your line there, Ryan. But let's just dwell on that fact for a second. 3/4 of the families in the school district are experiencing food insecurity, experiencing income, loss of income. Three quarters in a school that's it shouldn't be a surprise, but it's certainly a really striking number. We got a comment from Justine in Echo Park. I'm a parent, a 6-year-old in first grade right now. Our school has done a tremendous job making sure that families have the tech they need. I've also been so impressed by how teachers have done in keeping kids engaged. It's hard enough for me working with my little one on schoolwork when she's at home. I can only imagine having to handle 20 at once, as so many of these teachers are doing in the midst of distance learning. Hold that thought. We're going to come right back with our continuing conversation about the digital divide in California schools. Back after a minute here on Air Talk. We're talking about distance learning in schools. I want to sort of take a step aside here to announce another developing story that we've had announced today. Governor Gavin Newsom says that he is going to aggressively move the state further away from its reliance on climate change causing fossil fuels. The governor today issuing an executive order requiring the sales of all new passenger vehicles to be zero emission by 2035. The order also aims to accelerate the deployment of affordable fueling and charging options for those cleaner vehicles. So that is a story that we will be following in the KPCC newsroom, that the executive order from the governor today. But we are going to turn back to distance learning in schools and the digital divide that schools are trying to navigate amidst, you know, real pain that is going on amid the families. And with us to discuss it is Ryan Smith, who's the chief external officer of the Partnership for LA Schools. They conducted this survey. He was just talking us through it. They are basically, they run 19 different LA Unified schools. And just to be clear, it's not charter schools. These are district schools that they, you know, essentially the partnership oversees on their own. Ryan, I cut you off while you were talking us through the survey's critical findings. And I just found it to be, there were a lot of really kind of stark reminders of how tough this pandemic has been for some of families in high needs neighborhoods.
Yeah, so as I was mentioning, we have families who are reporting that they're spending hundreds of dollars buying new devices while they are suffering from loss of income, issues with housing security, issues with health challenges. This once again shows you that the narrative around Black and Latinx families caring about this is false. Clearly, these families are going above and beyond to make sure that their children have everything they need to support their success. But I will say this, in the state of California, where every child is guaranteed the right to a quality public education, as long as we're distance learning, that means that, like, the right to access quality broadband services is also essential. So we really have to start focusing on infrastructure, particularly for communities like Watts, Boyle Heights, and South LA, which we serve.
Yeah. And Dr. Duardo, Dr. Deborah Duardo, the County Superintendent of Schools for Los Angeles's Office of Education, this is a problem in the urban core of Los Angeles, but there's also a lot of places around the county that are outside of central LA, so, you know, South and East LA, that where families lack both a PC and a high-speed internet connection. I mean, we're talking about a quarter of the families in the Antelope Valley, about a third of the families in places like Pomona, more than half of the families in El Monte. I'm curious to know, from your vantage point, how do schools in those places deal with this now that this learning is all online, despite this, you know, sort of real infrastructure gap there?
Yeah, and thank you for acknowledging that. I mean, the majority of our students, and we have about 2 million school-aged children in LA County, attend schools outside of LAUSD. So there are a tremendous amount of other districts that are struggling to make sure that their students have the technology that they need and the hotspots. And as Ryan mentioned, even getting them the technology isn't the only issue that's preventing students from being able to connect. I mean, we know that our poor children, that are disproportionately children of color, are more likely to have parents who are working as essential employees. They're more likely to get COVID. There are more likely to have middle school and high school students supporting younger siblings in the house, more likely to have an overcrowded living situation. So there are so many other factors. We're looking at this as the whole child, making sure that people see schools as hubs for community services and bringing mental health services, bringing food, assisting with housing insecurity, or making sure whatever it is that family needs, that we're communicating, engaging, and supporting our parents, because this is a very difficult time for parents and also for teachers who have their own children at home and trying to do their job. So it's complicated and it's difficult for everyone, but I think we've made tremendous gains in closing the digital divide and improving our distance learning and engaging in the whole child with partners. You know, Ryan and I were just on a call yesterday, working with UCLA and working with others, saying now it's time for all of us to come together to support our children.
Yeah, but I think to just sort of bring this to a point that I think is made in the survey that Ryan Smith's organization conducted, this is an issue that has sort of fallen in the laps of public schools. But as Ryan, you make the case, and the argument I think we're starting to hear more is that this is an infrastructure challenge that is something that is sort of outside of the traditional purview of, like, this is not something that school districts can solve on their own. So, Ryan, I'm curious to know what you think solutions are. Like, where do we go from here? What are the what are those calls with UCLA and those partners looking like and sounding like?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things, and I do want to echo Superintendent Duardo in saying that school districts in LA County, including LAUSD, have provided amazing services as far as hotspots and meal programs to really help in this crisis. But we know those are short-term solutions to a long-term issue around infrastructure. I mean, there's a couple of things that I think are really important. You know, we're in the bedrock of the most innovative state in the country. I think, you know, internet service providers, many of them who are many of them who actually come out of California should pre-qualify families for high-speed internet based on whether they qualify for free and reduced lunch prices for services. We know that right now the multiple barriers and challenges around Zoom and Schoolology, et cetera, we need to be providing a lot more technical support, a lot more capacity-building opportunities for families and communities. And I think it's time to start talking about internet as a public good. There was a time when, you know, hardline phones weren't a public good.
Right.
We were able to close that gap in this country. And now that if you're in the state of California currently, as we are still sheltering in place, you need to apply for jobs online.
Right.
Probably delivering, getting your groceries delivered by ordering it potentially.
And telehealth and all of these other things that have sort of moved online. I want to jump in here to ask for one last quick thought on this, because just to talk about internet as a public good, we just heard from, you know, there are some cable companies, Charter Communications, for instance, said that they this week announced that they're going to relaunch their offer for free internet and Wi-Fi access for 60 days to households with K through 12 students, with college students or teachers living in them. Ryan, are these kinds of measures, I mean, to what extent do they help?
So I appreciate internet service providers who are trying to meet the need. And I think, you know, we're seeing where that makes a difference. But I will say that, once again, this is a short-term remedy. It is time for Los Angeles to follow initiatives like Chicago and states that we've seen who are calling for internet access for all.
Internet access for all and making sure that we close this divide. I'm sorry to cut you off, Ryan. I lost track of time because of the conversation we had. Ryan Smith and Deborah Duardo, two local educators talking about the digital divide in Los Angeles schools.